Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where 2 to 3 to 4 old guys talk about old games.
Multitap.
I am your bearded host, Tyler, and when I was little, I used to watch a lot of Muppet Babies, and it kind of had an effect on me that, like, whenever something would make me sad or upset, I would go somewhere and hide and sing.
What would you sing?
I think my mom, like, wouldn't let me go run a video game one time, so I went and, like, in my closet and shut the door. Because you've seen a Muppet Babies where Gonzo pretends he's at Mars singing about how lonely he is, and he's the only one of his kind. So then I get in there and I'm like, oh, my mom doesn't love me very much. She won't let me rent a game. And then for like 30 minutes until I felt better. And then I came back out.
Hey, I'm glad it worked.
I'm a better person now.
It's super effective.
And I'm your bespectacled host, Dave. And you know what? I'm incredibly talented at reheating delivery pizza. It's one of my mutant abilities, along with finding Tyler's wallet.
That's true. That's very entirely factual.
And the ability to eat incredibly temperature and spicy hot food. So I have 3 incredibly useless mutant powers.
Yeah, they're useless so far. They may be
except for finding your wallet.
So, yeah, that has helped me. That has saved my bachelor party earlier yesterday. Your aura of finding. Right.
I mean, in a comic book situation, but in a real life situation, those are fantastic.
Yeah.
So is this us? You want us? Yeah?
We got 2 other guys here.
Yeah, totally.
In honor of Super Bomberman, we have this is the multi-tap episode. So it's a 4-player co-op.
This is Ramon Federico Castillo III at normal speed, otherwise known as Ramon Federico Castillo III.
Thank you.
And this is Kevin Link, otherwise known as Link. That's right. The hero of Hyrule is here.
I'm glad to have you guys on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I know you are both very capable about talking about games in general, but especially Super Nintendo games.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
And we're the old guys.
Right.
Yeah, so that doubly qualified for this podcast.
Check mark off of the whole list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So then this week hit our number 89 spot with Super Bomberman 2. The story of Peter J. Bomberman.
Peter J. Bomberman.
Peter J. Bomberman.
And the 5 evil Bombermans.
And the Black Bomberman.
They must be his cousins, except for the Black Bomberman. Because, I mean, because he's white.
Right.
So maybe at the adoption.
Right. Yeah.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but first, before we start getting the swing of things, I think we should take a moment of edited silence for the burial of our Mondo bit.
Yeah. Mondo's over. Yep. Our Mondo sponsorship.
Our Mondo sponsorship has ended. We're no longer affiliated with Mondo or whatever their parent company is that we look at 100 different times and never can remember exactly what it is.
Right.
We've gotten a little bit of feedback that listeners like us to talk about Super Nintendo games on Nintendo podcast.
It's strange. It's
I guess that's if you want to the podcast what it's supposed to be about, if you were going to go there.
Yeah.
So we'll do a more abbreviated version of our
what we've been playing. Tyler, what have you been playing?
We've been really busy this week.
We have been really busy, but we've actually played something together. House of the Dead.
Yeah.
While waiting for our pizza, we spent $3 playing House of the Dead. Yes.
Which is half as many dollars as you need to actually beat the game.
Right. My plan is, I was telling Tyler, because Tyler's the fitness guy, and he's going to write up a workout routine for me so that in a year, what I'll do is I'll follow his workout routine. I've already got like a Deadpool mask.
Awesome.
So I'll get the rest of the costume put together. I'll come back to Pantera's in Edwardsville, because that's where we're recording right now.
Illinois.
It's Illinois. And I'll come with $40 and just pop them in both and grab both guns and my Deadpool costume in the middle of this kid's birthday party, I'm sure, and just go to town.
Yes. Perfect.
That would be amazing. I want to be there when that happens.
Okay.
And it's got to be the Deadpool costume where you're also wearing the bunny slippers.
Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's totally. You got to do that.
Yeah, it's that like +2 creepiness factor for public bunny slippers and Deadpool costume.
And my dick will be out. I'm just saying.
Right. As long as it's painted like something.
Like a carrot.
Yeah. With a smiley face on it.
Definitely.
Oh, for Easter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
So what have you guys been playing?
I've actually been going back to some of my old school game roots here. Been into Symphony of the Night, Castlevania. So if you ever have not played that game, you need to check it out.
Yeah, hell yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, totally. One of my favorite of all time.
So kind of to piggyback on that, I just finished Castlevania Lord of Shadows Mirror of Fate for the 3DS, and that was awesome. But I'm most excited about Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, because I actually just finished Luigi's Mansion for the first time on emulator, and it was fantastic. Like, love it. I can see why people love it so much.
We do have an FBI agent who listens to the show.
Awesome.
So he's probably okay with you emulating it.
Okay, perfect. Fantastic, because you can't find it anywhere else.
Because if not, that's Ramon Virgilio Castillo III.
Yeah, let me look up this address real quick.
Of New Mexico.
Yeah, New Mexico.
Good luck.
Of Scotland.
All right, so a little bit of, because usually we have a guest host on, I like to give a little bit of background and relation.
Got
to
tell a story.
Dave and I met, Dave's junior year of college, my freshman year of college. We met Ramon and Link during, well, they're theater kids. Jacob, who is my roommate, is a theater kid, and I was like a halftime theater kid.
Jacob of wolf fighting fame.
Of wolf, yes.
Yes, indeed.
Of Three Wolves Deep.
Right.
And they came over. Ramon introduced us to D&D.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons, which took my first semester like 3.5 to my second semester GPA to like a 0.5 after I started playing D&D.
Definitely.
And Link was our master of all things of the eating challenge. I've seen Link. We bought one of those industrial sized pudding cans. Like, Link, eat this.
5 pounds of pudding. I ate three.
He got three done, and then we just left the rest out in the rain for way too long.
And there was something to that. He was going to get $20. He didn't because he only did three of the 5 pounds.
How much was 5 pounds of pudding?
I think the 5 pounds of pudding was like $4. It was off brand.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure that it was chocolate flavored, but you know.
It was chocolate flavored, but it wasn't chocolate.
Did you get sick?
No, I didn't get sick.
What stopped you?
My belly couldn't pass it.
Your blood pressure?
It's like if I eat.
Diabetes set in.
Diabetes.
But to throw back a Suikoden reference, everyone here is on my 108 stars list. So anybody who's on Suikoden understands the depth of that statement.
For those who don't,
play Suikoden.
Fuck them.
Matt Barger gets it, so
yeah,
we're good with that.
And Jacob York.
Well, this week we're talking about Super Bomberman 2. Like we said earlier, I've got a little bit of info on the game. You know, I like to give a little info about the game in case you haven't played it, but I'm sure everyone here at the table's played it, and probably a lot of our listeners have played it too, because these games were pretty popular, I remember, when I was a kid. Super Bomberman 2 is an action game developed by Hudson Soft and published by Nintendo in 1994. The gameplay consists of navigating mazes. It's filled with monsters, typically, at varying degrees of aggravating.
And bizarre.
Right. <Yes.
laughs> From pretty aggravating to extraordinarily aggravating. Right.
But that's the baseline is aggravating.
Yes.
You play as Bomberman. Bomberman. Go figure.
Peter J. Bomberman.
Right. Yeah. And you lay bombs to destroy all the monsters and blocks, and some of those blocks contain power-ups.
Right.
And the big thing is there's two modes to this game. There's a story mode and a multiplayer mode. The mechanics are pretty much the same, but it's two completely different ways of playing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. They are nothing alike in other than the fact that bombs are involved.
No, I prefer multiplayer mode.
I would tend to agree.
Ramon agrees?
Yes.
Link?
Most definitely.
Tyler?
I enjoyed both of them.
Well, which do you enjoy more?
I don't know. I enjoyed both of them.
Okay.
I guess
it's more fun to play multiplayer with friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's probably not as fun to play by yourself. And then single player is better to play when you're by yourself.
I just want to take a moment in the fact that you said I enjoyed.
Enjoyed no longer.
I'm going to go ahead and show my hand earlier and say what I love about this game and what makes this game brilliant is that it's a very simple concept. Mm-hmm. Like the core concept of the game is super simple because you could essentially play this game with a D-pad and one button.
Yep.
You walk left, right, up or down in an isometric view, or really more top down, and you drop a bomb and it blows up whatever is next to it.
Or yourself
most of the time. Well, yeah. More times than not.
Whatever's next to it, if it's you.
Yep. Yeah, you just blow a motherfucker up. That's all you do.
So you could play this with an Atari 2600 pad, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you definitely could.
But when it gets interesting because the core concept is so simple, but it's overlaid by all these different complexities, like power-ups and stage gimmicks, for lack of a better term.
Particularly stage two. where you have to go through and you don't really know what happens when you blow something up. For instance, dynamite. Dynamite blows up. But in general, in the game, when you put a bomb down, it blows up in the four cardinal directions, north, south, east, west. And you know if it hits something, it's going to get interposed by whatever brick or block that's in the way.
Right.
Right? So you're safe. If you're on the other side of a tower or something, you're safe. Dynamite, on the other hand, blows every fucking thing up on the screen. And yeah. I didn't realize that until I died 15 times. And everybody's like, hey, Ramon, could you stop hitting the dynamite? I'm like, oh, what?
What's dynamite?
What's dinamite?
So I've got to say, it sounds like it's been a pretty successful combination overall since Link happened to tell us earlier there have been like over 70 Bomberman games.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rather crazy to think of all the iterations of this game that has spawned. You know, I'm familiar with just the ones here in the United States, but apparently right. there are a lot more over in Japan, so...
And then ones that you said were like only like Europe releases. So there are a lot of Pacific region Bomberman releases.
Well, and I noticed like when we were talking about the names of the levels, I mean, they're all Japanese.
Right.
Like to us, it's level one. It's level two.
Right.
Yeah. But they actually have like backstory and everything that I completely don't understand.
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because this game in itself is very Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, if you've ever watched... an anime,
right?
Or read any bit of manga, you'll know immediately just based on the animation and the way emotions are expressed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like where
yeah, where he's like super happy that he got through the door,
right?
With the upside down U's for eyes,
and when he dies, and you get that drop,
The snot bubble.
Yeah.
If there are bomber ladies, you'd see him fall over with blood spurting out his nose.
Right.
Anime stuff.
But fortunately, it's not bomber woman. I'm not even going to apologize to our female listeners because we don't have any.
Oh. Right.
As a matter of fact, I'd just like to point out.
Which are our wives. So right. They're stuck anyway.
All four.
On that note, one of the bad guys is actually a woman, so it makes sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Sexy ninjutsu?
Yes.
Yes, Naruto references.
And thus far, had the most fun stage.
Yeah, that is true. Her stage was by far the most enjoyable of the stages.
Is that the cutesy?
The cutesy castle.
Pretty bomber girl, something.
So are we going to come clean?
Yes.
Yes, we should before the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
I murdered a hobo.
Oh,
we didn't beat this game.
Did the portal come out?
He's talking about the hobo.
This isn't about that game we talked about, Blackthorn.
When you murdered the hobo, did the portal come out?
Does explain.
That's what I was trying to do.
This does explain the duffel bag that you brought that's leaking
all the way
floor.
All the way to my house.
We left a neat little trail for someone to follow. Hint, hint, FBI guy.
Because I guess we should say we drove up here to St. Louis to do the show with them and go to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Wizard World.
Comic-Con.
Yes, which was a roller coaster of emotion.
It was.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you like Garrett to explain about it?
Yes, I would love to. So we're going to, you know, I know we need to talk about this game.
We do.
And definitely from being avid listeners to the show, I know what happens, Blackthorn, when you don't want to talk about the game. But we, you know, I think we had a lot of fun playing this game. But I'm going to segue for 2 seconds here.
I do want to talk about this game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely do, too. So we went to Wizard World, and Wizard World was...
We met all the wizards.
We did.
We learned a few spells.
Yeah. Even the ones from Waverly Place, which I was kind of iffy on.
Yeah.
So we went, and I think we were pretty much done within the first hour and 15 minutes. We
were like, underwhelming.
Yeah. So we saw everything. And so I had remembered that Tyler said, hey, do they have any gaming going on? So we went back over to the gaming booth, and I talked to the gaming guru that was there at the time. And he said, yeah, we've got gaming demos going on in room 132. And I was like, great. And he's like, yeah, nobody's in there. They're super bored. I was like, oh, awesome. So, and there were 9 of us at the time. And basically, it was us and like 2 other people in that room when we went in.
We could have walked in there in slow motion and it'd been very exciting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was actually very exciting. And I pictured it.
Wind was blowing our hair.
And that was the point when I think the trip really meant something because we all got to sit down.
Yeah.
And we weren't trying to do something. We were actually sitting down, playing games, talking, catching up. Having fun, and that's when I think everybody started enjoying themselves. That, And everyone finally convinced me that I was going to spend the money to go talk to Henry Winkler, which is going to be the highlight of my year.
I see. All this buildup.
Yeah.
All this buildup.
That's why I almost had tears when we started talking about it.
Hey. Led to the Fonz.
Led to the Fonz. So the Fonz is by far the nicest man in the world. Like, I don't know if there's a man that is more appreciative of his fans.
Did you ask him if he'd be your dad?
It really crossed my mind. Yeah. And later on Facebook, I kind of regretted that I hadn't.
Yeah.
He did hit on my wife and my sister-in-law. I mean, that would have made the relationship weird, but I would have been okay with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Guys.
Who doesn't swing with Henry Winkler?
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I'd like you to meet my dad, Henry Winkler.
And my wife's sisters.
He's been inside both of these.
I mean, he was gentle. And I'm pretty sure he's going to go quietly in a few years. But, I mean, I'm okay with it.
So I was mad at first. But then he hit my jukebox and started working. So
yeah,
I don't
totally.
Know.
He hit my MP3 player.
That is my somebody
vinyl player.
It sounds cooler. Somebody crying in the corner, just like I got cuckolded by Henry Winkler.
It would totally still happen though. I mean, his last name is Winkler. I mean, what is he gonna do with that? He's got to stick it somewhere.
You got a winkle somewhere, man.
Yeah, you got a winkle.
Bomberman 2.
Hey, Bomberman 2.
So speaking of the Fonz, Bomberman 2.
Great segue, Dave.
You showed your hand. I had never played a Bomberman until we sat down and played this.
And you were a natural.
I was going to say, could have fooled me.
I loved this. I absolutely loved every minute of Bomberman.
Did you? I'm glad.
I really did.
We could make a movie, in fact, about how well you picked up Super Bomberman.
It'd have to be black and white.
It would be called
definitely.
Wizard 2.
I like it. But yet, Tyler had never played the game, and I think he played it probably better than...
Everyone.
...than us three who had played it.
Yeah. That we need to do a quick shout-out to our other friend who was playing with us. So we actually had Craig Miles here.
That's right.
That being said...
That's a very special shout-out, remember, because we normally do it at the end of the show.
I know, but we have to explain who else was here playing with us, because we were playing.
Do you?
I'm getting laser eyes.
Do you?
I must not hijack show again. Well, basically, there's the scale of how well we played. At the bottom was me and Craig, and at the top was Tyler. Link and Dave somewhere in between.
Yeah. We got off on a tangent about Henry Winkler.
Yes.
But the thing that I think we should come clean about and that we're probably putting off is that we didn't beat this game.
We did not.
No, we did not.
If we had more time to play, I would definitely finish this game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, due to time constraints and also how frustrating the second stage boss was.
Right.
It was just ridiculous. And you know, I don't...
Cherry Tomato Bomb Man?
Yes. Right. Yes, you know.
Slash Magneto.
Yep. Slash Magneto.
This is the first game we've played on the games we've done on Tadpog that I plan on going back and playing again.
Really?
All of them, I can't imagine I'm going to go back and like, God, I just want to play more Tiny Toons. I got to play more Blackthorn. Uniracers? What? I'm not done doing two flips. No, which I guess I'm going to get some kind of hate from somebody for. People are very defensive about Uniracers.
Yeah,
Uniracers has some diehard fans.
Yeah, Uniracers has a big fan base.
Well, that's because Uniracers has its own god.
Well,
they follow the anti-uni.
It's a religion.
Yeah.
That means
explains
that,
it.
That God still has power.
Wait, is that uni?
If it has worshippers.
You're right. You're right. That checks out in like three different fantasy realms.
Right.
Yeah.
And I also would like to point out that as much as we also enjoyed this game, it would be amazing if somehow it was ported to smartphones. I think this is ripe for a port. I think it would be great, and I think it would be enjoyable to kind of revive old school gaming in a new way.
God, it would be awesome. Right.
That would be.
Like, Bomberman's got that pick up and play to it, where the stages, especially the multiplayer, is really fast. And if it's on a mobile device, you can connect to other players.
Well, and the simplicity of the controls. Even, even with touch controls, you could still play it.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, if you think of something like, you know, where you have Words with Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt that Bomberman would take
that. Friends.
Yeah, Bombs with Friends.
Bombs with Friends.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very big.
Always
in
kill
the Middle
responsibly.
East.
And then, and it would be free, but you'd get, you could change the Bomberman's pom-pom color. Mm-hmm. For 99 cents or something like that. Yeah, it would totally be worthwhile. Hudson Soft.
If you're still out there.
We'll get to that.
Because I don't know. I'm actually like anxiously waiting looking at Dave. It's like, are they still around?
I'd only seen sort of seen you play in the background while I was over at your old apartment. Like, I'd be doing, like, D&D stuff for a game we're going to do in a few hours. And I would sort of remember you playing Bomberman in the background, like you or Josh.
Yeah, Bomberman. I played a lot of Bomberman Live.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when that came out on Xbox Live. That was a big deal.
Is that still on Xbox Live?
I don't know. I haven't. If it is, we'll
play it.
That might be a game that we want to pick up.
Yep, it's true.
Especially if Tyler likes it so much.
I haven't plugged my Xbox in probably a year and a half. So that would be a reason for me to get back on.
But that's okay, because this is a Super Nintendo podcast.
That's right.
Indeed.
I was constantly impressed with every level and the variation in every level.
Yeah.
All of the different power-ups, the effects, the skills, like everything.
Yeah.
Like it had so much variety and complexity. I really, really loved it.
I like to hear that. And it's especially because you've never played one.
Right.
Like, you know that's not tinted with nostalgia.
Maybe that's the trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's the trick. It's got to be a game he's never played or heard of. What's the Super Bomberman?
I don't know.
Bomberman?
Super Turrican didn't go so well.
Yeah, that's true.
And neither of us had heard of that.
And Link actually came up with a good theory yesterday. It's either Super, or they slap Super on it to make it Super.
You have to know what system it's for.
Well,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it was.
I know you mentioned the power-ups. That's one of the things that makes this game really remarkable, I think, is that, like we were talking about earlier, the core concept of the game is very simple. But then you start adding these power-ups, and it starts getting complicated.
It's exclusion-based rule set.
Yeah.
So there's rules that say you can't do these things. Like, you can't throw your bombs. You can't move your bombs. But as soon as you get that power-up, it completely changes the way you're playing.
You've been studying game theory.
I have. To be given some point is, I was pretty terrible at this. And when we first started.
Yes.
And you were. Yes, I was. but you have to kind of get in that niche where you're like, figure out how you want to play. And mine was this is my skill, endless patience.
Yeah.
And Bomberman is a timed game. So when you get down to the wire, the outside of the ring starts to get smaller, shrinking in like a spiral of Thara's Dune, closing on your demise.
Nice. Yes.
As this coil of entropy reaches its apex, I'm just sitting there laughing gleefully as everyone dies around me. I have no power-ups.
See, in my play style, I think it's interesting, because my play style is don't fight, but gather all the power-ups I can.
Like throw.
Right. And kick.
So throw I liked because you could be on the opposite side of the map. You could turn around, throw it south, and it will bloop, 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 hop over the north wall and snag somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a special trick of throw.
Right.
Because throw, the power-up just allows you to set a bomb.
Right.
Pick it up and throw it.
Normally a barrier will stop the bomb blast. So you throw it over the barrier to get to somebody who can't get to you.
Or save your own life.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's great when you peg somebody with it because it stuns them.
Yeah, and they lose a power up.
Yes.
That might be something to point out that I don't think we did in the simplicity of it.
Mm-hmm.
How much health do you have?
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
You don't have health.
You don't have health.
If you're hit, you're dead.
Right.
It's pretty realistic in that you take one bomb blast and you're just dead.
You think?
Sure. And when we get the bosses, that realism slips away.
Yeah. There is a power up, the heart.
Right.
That gives you
one more hit.
Right.
Which is basically a shield.
Yeah.
But that is only available in the boss fights, not the regular stages.
And in story mode.
That we saw.
Right.
Yep. And not in multiplayer either. Mm-hmm. So.
But I'm sure Tyler will tell us more.
Well, I mean,
how many hearts there are in the game? I want you to count.
40 levels in.
There's 17 hearts, guys.
We have a Super Bomberman 2 heart update. Tyler's found another heart in the game.
We need like a cardio monitor in the background.
Boop, boop.
The only complaint I had about not only the battle mode but the story mode is the computer fucking cheats.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it really loves cheating.
A lot of examples
and
of
I,
that.
And I tried not to say it because I was doing bad.
Mm-hmm.
I tried not to say, oh, it's totally the computer. And then at some point, I just lost
it. Oh, yeah. You got – I mean, eventually you have to release.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where it's like – I was like – I knew I was doing bad, doing poorly. You know, I was on the ice level. I had picked all the wrong levels to learn on. And then finally we get to what – the oil field –
Yep, that's
the AKA Gunpowder Factory.
Yeah, let's
stress inducing room.
Someone give us a rundown on that level.
On that level or all the battle levels?
Well, specifically this level.
I want to talk about that level because that's the one started to shine.
There's all these oil barrels.
Right.
And then there's a center ring of gunpowder.
Right. Well, it's gunpowder. It could
or
be oil.
It could be oil. Right.
Some flame spreading.
So,
and some accelerant.
Yes. So that's the thing. Given the nature of it being an SNES game, mm-hmm. gunpowder, I think, would obviously instantaneously explode, mm-hmm. which is what that did.
Yes.
Oil, however, travels. Which that did not. So that's led us to think that it was gunpowder. We found out later that it's actually oil. It's, you know we what? Completely understand.
Fuck it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Fuck it. It doesn't matter. It serves the same purpose.
Right.
And that is create a big fucking ring of fire in the middle
giant
of the map.
Ass fireball.
Of yeah. death, essentially.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
That's the thing. The careful placement of your Bomberman is so crucial in every level. And you basically removed 18 squares where you can actually stand.
Right. Those
and
were fast battles. Those were real fast battles.
I'm glad you said the number of squares because pretty much every multiplayer map is
the same
a 13 by 13 grid.
Yeah.
And each bomb blast, you start out with your regular bomb blast, only goes one square north, south, east, and west.
Yeah, and the center square.
Right.
So like a 3 by 3 cross. But yeah, so that level, it was the first time everyone else was so incredibly frustrated, even Tyler. And I was like, I have to do this. So,
challenge
accepted. So that was the one where I finally figured out how to play the fucking game.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, guys, what am I missing here? And they're like, oh, well, that stuff explodes. And if you basically, and I was like, well, I'm just going to get them to kill each other. So, that was the one level where the computer couldn't cheat.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't outrun its own bombs.
Yeah.
So I would just wait, right, and just take one step forward and they'd go bomb and I'd take one step back. And then they'd blow up the whole fucking level. Right. And I was like, I won. I did everything. I moved twice.
Patience again.
Patience. And I think that's something that comes with time. But I used to think it was the skill of being able to pick up a game.
Quote from Ramon, patience. It comes with time. Tyler, it sounded like you want to tell us more about
about the battle levels.
I thought each
one has a different theme that is increasingly
fun. I think they're due talking about.
Your first one is your regular standard bricks.
Very basic.
That you just blow each other up, throw your bombs,
power ups,
get your power ups.
My favorite level.
Yeah.
And then there's your least favorite level, the ice, where then you have the sliding. You can't really stop at all the turns. You just go from one end of the screen to the other.
Standard ice level fair.
Standard ice.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's like the oil gunpowder room of stress.
Right.
The room of the stress.
I like that. The Rorschach stress test room.
It's like the Saw movies? That should be the game, the official game of Saw.
Yeah.
It's just that
stress room.
Right. Stress room.
So basically, you play Bomberman with like a bomb strapped to your chest and you have to keep your heart rate below a certain level or you die.
Right.
Yeah, somebody needs to make 16-bit Saw, and it's all the real most stressful levels of games just packed one after the other.
And all of Prince of Persia.
Okay, Micah, this is your biggest challenge yet.
If you don't know how to code, you're going to have to learn.
Did you say Micah or Mike of?
Mike of Purdue.
Mike of Purdue?
Lord Mike Micah, of Purdue.
You have so many Tadpog points that you've actually been exalted to.
Yeah.
Mike of Purdue.
Yeah, Lord Mike of Purdue. We don't know if that's a place or if that's your family title. We're just going to leave it at that.
Right.
You have the awning level. So you got awnings that's what I'm going to call it.
The brunch level.
So you can't see where any bombs are going to be going off. So you're going through half the level blind.
Because there's awnings.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say half the level is covered.
That open and close.
Yep.
At regular levels.
It's hard to see, yeah.
And that level has the maximizer.
Yeah, where one bomb goes across an entire line.
Right.
So you can't see where a bomb's going to go, and it's just going to light up that whole row.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the maximizer, that's the red orb on the ground?
The kind of flashing little red tile orb.
And if you drop a bomb right on it, it stretches the length of the 13,
entire screen.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it goes 13
squares.
Yep.
You've got like the speed room to where there are numbered tiles.
We actually did very well on that.
We learned how to
trap the computer once we got our speed up, but you always had to avoid the slow down markers because at that point, it sucks. You lay a bomb and you don't even have enough time to get out of the way of your own bomb and you end up killing yourself. Mm-hmm.
When you can control whether or not you sped or slowed down.
Yeah, you just have to run over the tiles. One is for fast, one is for slow.
Yeah, because there's two tiles marked with numbers.
One through five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the name of that one was, I believe, the C10 like Pro-Am or something in Japan. It was actually a race theme.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Rooms.
I'm just going to call it Speed Room.
Speed Room.
We're going to call it Tokyo Drift. We have Saw level and Tokyo Drift level.
There's the conveyor belt level where you put your bombs and it'll go all over the conveyor belt.
Which are always fun.
I'm going to call that Double Dragon level.
Double Dragon level.
Okay, good. The Bobo room.
Right.
Yeah, or the Metal Man stage level.
There's the arrow room to where there are various arrows in different directions all over. And if you set your bomb there, it automatically starts traveling that direction. Mm-hmm.
Following the arrows.
There was the robot room that looked like the inside of the
Black
Tower of Babel.
So basically, you know, there in certain games, you know what blows up.
Right.
You could see it. So with something that looks like a treasure chest in Bomberman blows up because it has something inside.
Right.
In that room, it's reversed.
Right.
The bricks don't blow up. Right. Basically,
the bricks blow up and the stuff that looks like treasure chest
doesn't.
Don't.
Yeah, right. But it does look like the Tower of Babel from Final Fantasy IV.
And there's also a level that looks like the inside of the Black Omen from Chrono Trigger.
Yes.
So, Blake, if you're still counting the number of times we reference Chrono Trigger and Earthbound. Go ahead and mark those down.
Blake's doing it now.
There was the level where the level where you can't – normally you can walk past each other.
Right.
But there was the one level where you can't walk through each other. You are
people.
The enemies. Yeah.
And that's actually one of the ways we won that is dropping a bomb and then just – Taking a step back, allowing someone to come forward, and then just standing right there in their
the
way.
The bully level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that one.
The chocolate warp level.
Yes, the chocolate warp level. It's like a Hershey's factory with warps. It's great.
Chocolate warp hole, isn't it?
Yes, it's chocolate warp hole.
Was that Craig's name for it?
Sounds like a Shrek name. Big Lip Biscuit fan.
Chocolate warp hole.
See, and then the last one was the mushroom level.
Right.
Which was...
Oh, I like that one too.
You know, Bomberman has infinite scoots across
mushrooms. Yeah, I honestly felt like that was almost kind of like a tribute to Mario in a way.
Yes.
With the mushrooms don't necessarily make you grow bigger,
but they make you jump. Mm. And normally you don't jump in Bomberman at all.
And not only do you jump and scoot.
Right. It's a bumpy truck ride.
Yeah, it's a bumpy truck ride. The best way to describe it is, you know, you have a dog with an itchy asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Touchy's mushroom basement.
But yeah, you basically scratch your itchy asshole across the level until someone dies.
And you can also, it's also important to note that not only you can bounce over the mushrooms, but you can throw bombs over the mushrooms. And if a bomb detonates near a mushroom, it'll destroy it, but that mushroom will regrow later.
Correct.
So that's pretty cool.
Lots of power-ups on that level.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't know this at the time we played, but through our research, we did find that there are two bonus levels to the deathmatch portion of Bomberman.
Slayer.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Forgive me if I butcher these, but it's the Jin-Jin deathmatch room.
Jin-Jin.
You start out with all power-ups maxed out.
And red hair.
Oh, my gosh. Not ginger.
Oh, sorry.
No. But,
and so calming tea. Calming herbal tea.
And when you die, it doesn't matter because
you have no soul.
It's the Blake Woods level. There we go.
And then the other one was the Boyoyong jump room, too.
Boyoyong.
Well, that's the sound when you happens when you jump a lot. It's Boyoyong. Boyoyong. Boyoyong.
Problem. That might be it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what it was.
Oh, I was trying to be ironic.
So what's the deal? These aren't in the US
apparently
version?
But what you have to do at the title screen is repeatedly press the X button for 6 seconds straight, and then it unlocks.
Another thing that I found
also, Secrets of the Beginning, if you go to the stage select map, supposedly, and you hit the select button, you can actually pick the color of your Bomberman.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
And there are 16 colors to choose from.
I think the only one you can't choose is gold or something like that.
Yes.
Right. Because I think gold is reserved for the G-Bomber or what is that?
Yes.
And the trophy.
Right.
The trophy's gold.
Right.
Yeah.
I want a brown Bomberman.
You can take care of that right now.
Through
the chocolate portal hole.
Right.
Battle mode with friends was very much, it was a good feeling of nostalgia for sitting on the couch together and playing.
Well, especially like you don't get the four of us.
And I think, we had more people as well. Although I think that if it had been just Tyler and me or even Ramon and Link, any mixture of us, I still think we'd had a good time.
It's still fun no matter which way you slice it.
And I'd also like to add in that there are actually two different modes to multiplayer. You can actually have a free-for-all where it's every man for himself, but we didn't even explore that option. We just like the team play where it's mm-hmm. you versus a computer. Right. It's really good, and this game definitely is conducive to teamwork.
Well, I think that this group has always been more of a co-op group.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think that's why in this group of friends, fighting games don't last very long.
One exception.
Well, I mean, I also enjoy fighting games, but it gets to a point where unless there are a lot of friends mm-hmm. playing it, because usually what'll happen is like
you'll win every match because you're really good at fighting games. Well, like I hate it because I just win so much.
That is not true. But it does get old because if you're just playing a fighting game with one other person, I mean it doesn't matter who you're playing.
Unless they're equally matched.
Exactly. Yes.
There is that one exception, which is Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers.
That would be the exception.
Right.
And I think that the reason for that being is because it uses so many characters from our history with video games.
Right.
Yeah. And it uses them in a new way, and that's why we like it so much. And that is honestly the only fighting game that has had any type of length where we can play it multiple days in a row
right.
and actually still enjoy it.
Actually, I'm glad that you bring up Smash Brothers because it's very similar to Bomberman in the fact that it is a very simple fighting game,
yes.
but it has complexities laid over it. Because
exception-based.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, like with Bomberman, I know we've been talking a lot about the power-ups and the various different stages for multiplayer, but also the augments of the levels themselves in the story mode. You know, it starts out very simple.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of things at first, and then you're introduced to the red gems on the floor that mm-hmm. let the bomb explode, and then the second one is all about fire.
The dynamite.
Yes, the dynamite, things like that. Furnace. Yep.
The furnace.
Let's talk about the furnace. This ties into the level, the multiplayer level with the oil slash
correct
yes
black powder.
Now the biggest difference between that was in multiplayer, the oil or gunpowder on the floor just has to be hit by a bomb
to ignite.
Yeah. Right.
Period. Now, however, in story mode, we kept laying bombs on it; nothing would happen.
Right.
Finally, we realized that there were furnaces at the end of this trail. And we're like, hey, wonder what would happen if we set a bomb in front of that. Well, it's really scary at first because as soon as
you don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, as soon as you set the bomb, there's a giant gush of flame that comes right out of it. It doesn't kill you, but it's good enough to scare the shit out of you.
And it's the same animation that would kill you.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the fire trails start to activate. Now, the only clue that you get from this is a red flashing light.
That's the second terrifying
thing. Yes, it's a red flashing light. So you're like, oh, crap, what the hell just happened? I'm going to blow up everything, including myself. But no, then the fire actually goes down the trail, which is great.
Sort of.
Except for whenever you're on the trail and the red light goes off. You literally have a split second to make a decision.
That trail of fire kills with no discrimination.
No. Yeah, friend and foe alike. Mm-hmm. That was the most terrifying because I think I discovered that. And me being the guy who was not that great at it, almost screamed like a little girl. Because like I was like, what is going on?
Oh, no. I think all of us were. Yeah, when that happened, we were all just kind of wide-eyed.
The only sound you could hear was like the puckering of buttholes.
Yeah. Yeah. Simultaneous.
Yeah. Whoop.
Well, and
that's our band, Simultaneous Butthole Puckering.
Write that down, please.
And what was
Mike, there's your cover for our band, Simultaneous Butthole Puckering.
So we need to trademark that right now.
There's also another great band name we came up with by looking over some earlier Bomberman games. Do you remember the name of the port?
God, you know what? Like, I will look it up.
Greg and the Floaters or something like that?
Yes. That's what it was.
Greg and the Floaters.
For whatever reason, it was like the second or third Bomberman game ever produced. And in Europe, that's what it was called. It was not called Bomberman. It was called Greg and the Floaters.
Probably Greg. Maybe right. Greg and the Floaters. Yes, but it was definitely someone in the Floaters.
Yes. Right.
And I guess that must have been the first, that's the legendary Bomberman. His name is Greg.
Greg Bomberman.
Father of Peter Bomberman.
Right. Yeah. We're starting to create some lore. I'm getting into this.
That ties back into the fact that, and Link and I have both been playing Castlevania, that lore thing. Oh, that's so much fun.
Oh, yeah. That's really part of classic gaming, I think, is there's two things. making up a story when there's no story.
Yep.
And making up lyrics to the song that you hear for the entire time that you're playing the game.
That was another one of my qualms about it, because the levels, five stages, and each are broken down into sub-stages, but the music only changes whenever the big levels change.
Right.
So you hear the same theme through all of these sub-levels.
Yeah.
It's not super great music. It's okay.
Right.
But just you hear it over.
It's
and
insidious.
Over and
it's
over.
Yeah, it's catchy while you're playing it.
Right.
But now that we're not playing it, I couldn't hum any of it to you.
No. And the title screen music is the best music.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Because the story mode is what, five dastardly Bombermans.
Right.
Bummer people.
Because
there's a woman, Bummer people.
Right.
Bomber society.
Kidnap Bomberman.
Yes.
And you have to escape their sky bomber fortress.
Right.
It's a their dungeon. Ship.
Their space ship. Dungeon.
It's a fungeon. It's a fun dungeon.
So the first one is sort of like a castle.
Space castle.
That you go through a space castle.
With space moat.
It does have a space moat, and it has like space interior decorating.
Yes,
it's really well decorated.
The next one is sort of the tire fire world.
Hell.
Yeah, hell.
Yes,
hell
is appropriate.
The third one is the sort of the cutesy. It was a very cute, fun-looking level. That music really grated on me.
Yeah,
and we didn't finish that level.
No. That's when we decided is like, could we finish this in a reasonable amount of time? As frustrating as it was to get through level two and the second world boss.
But it was fun frustrating, I thought.
Yes.
I mean, I know you used the word frustrating, and I think that's accurate. It was the right kind of frustrating.
It wasn't Blackthorn frustrating.
I'm going to try it again right now.
If a person at the time when the game came out had been given a week, mm-hmm. they would beat it. And they'd probably feel really good about it, because it is Nintendo hard. There is that fine line between, I think you guys talked about this with Blackthorn, so you should go back and listen to the Blackthorn episode.
That's right. If you haven't listened to the Blackthorn episode...
It's two episodes ago, so go back on tadpog.com or on iTunes.
And we promise you Ramon's not getting a cut of our Mondo credit.
No, just some under-the-table stuff.
Literal under-the-table stuff.
Yeah, that butthole puckering thing that I told you about. Yeah, it's Nintendo hard, which is, there aren't a lot of games that are like that anymore. And I would say that there is one I can think of, but I don't know if he's been playing it recently, which would be Dark Souls.
I'm not playing it.
Okay. No. So,
and nor am I going to talk about it.
Okay. So we don't have to, but I agree with Dave.
You're damn right.
I agree with Dave that there are few and far between games that are the perfect level of difficulty. And Super Bomberman 2 is one of them.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it captures, I'm sure a lot of you have probably played Super Meat Boy. Super Meat Boy kind of pulls from this kind of frustrating, where it's frustrating, mm-hmm. but they let you get right back into it. Like if you die, you get right back into mm-hmm. it. The
right.
only exception is when you're fighting a boss. Whenever you fight a boss, there's two different stages.
Yeah.
There's two different forms. The boss has two forms. The only exception to it being fun frustrating is when you're on the second form of a boss. If you die there, you have to go back and beat the boss from its first form forward.
Right.
So,
and all the randomness that ensues.
That's the only part that kind of grated on me a little bit, was because you get to go right back into it, but you have to redo
essentially the accomplishment that you already did by beating the first form.
Right.
But
you know, you have to go and do that all over again. So I can definitely understand where that would kind of break the rule of the fun, frustrating type of thing. So
it's one of those things where I think that the designers knew that for boss fights, they had to step it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I mean, can we really? Because this is a difficult... They had to know it was a difficult game at the time. And they'd done it before.
Right.
So they're like, okay, well, we have to step this up. Because at the beginning of stage three, it steps back down again. To a reasonable level.
Right.
But that boss fight, though frustrating, when we beat it, I mean, there was like uproarious applause. And I mean...
Yeah, I mean, you get the real sense that you've done something in the game. I mean,
right.
Yes, it was frustrating to have to beat that guy or try to beat that guy so many times.
And we did every cheap trick in the book to do it.
But, you know, once you accomplish that and you get to go to the next level... It's satisfying. It really is.
Until you hear the third level music.
There are two sort of cheap things the computer does around those levels, which is one, when you put out a flame, you have to walk over it. Mm. The time limit it takes for that flame to come back up.
Spiteful flame.
It's completely random.
Yes, spiteful flame.
Spiteful flame.
That made us very angry, because sometimes it would be like 10 seconds so you could freely walk around. Other times, as soon as you put them out, it comes back up.
That is my fan fiction for Super Bomberman 2. It's going to be called Spiteful Flame.
Spiteful Flame.
It's a romance novel.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
Totally. With a name like that, it could be mm-hmm. nothing else.
Between a white Bomberman and a black Bomberman because that seems to be all that's left except for the Bomber Woman who is evil. So, of course, she can't be involved.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't walk through your bombs. Sometimes enemies can.
Right. Yeah.
And that feels frustrating.
Right. You mentioned the first three levels, and we didn't get past that.
Nope.
Right.
So, do we know what's 4 and 5?
Nope. Link can probably look it up, but we don't know.
Sure I could, but, you know, I don't really want to look it up. I'd like to actually find out for myself. Play through, like you were saying, you know.
So we need an update at some point. I think Tyler would play it. I will play this again. We need to know the mythical background between level 4 and 5.
Yes.
Yeah. From what I've read, that 5-boss, 5-level scheme is very common for Bomberman.
Yeah.
So the 5 conjoined fortresses, whether they be on the ground or in space, is very common for the series.
Also very Japanese.
Yeah.
You know.
A team.
Right. A team and then joining together.
Right. Of Ultra Force. Yeah, that's the best way to describe them. Is like the Voltron.
Form like Voltron.
Force. Mm-hmm. And they all their second forms, or at least what we saw, were giant robots.
That's also like a Japanese trope, right, is having multiple forms.
Correct.
Yep.
So, yeah, when we see that in the bosses.
Yeah, especially like JRPGs.
Right.
The final boss is usually...
This isn't even my final form.
Right. Oh, it's usually 3 forms.
Right.
And which is why I'm thinking the final boss has 3.
I mean, your logic is sound.
Yeah. And the design of the villains is so much cooler than Bomberman.
Like, yes.
I mean, to me, yeah, I mean, the cherry tomato bomber guy... puffing his chest out.
I mean, they're cool, but they're like comically cool.
Yeah, they're comically cool.
Bomberman is very cute.
Yeah, he's
Bomberman's
cute.
Like
he's accessible.
Right. That's why I think Bomberman gets all the pussy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, no.
Well,
doubt.
He's in every Bomberman.
Right.
Yeah.
He is in every Bomberman.
He's in the chocolate portals.
Indeed.
He gets that bomb ass pussy.
That's right.
Boom. That'll be a shout out to one of our listeners. She knows who she is. I'm not going to mention her by name, but that's how she describes herself.
Mm. Is that the stinger?
No, but that is.
With that, on that same line, it kind of almost reminded me of Punch-Out and Super Punch-Out, where the main character is so small, and when you get up against the bosses, they're so big. That's kind of like a common theme that I see. Like, you know, the hero's not necessarily always the biggest guy in the
scene. Underdog.
Yeah, he is very
Beautiful Joe.
Indeed. And then he, you know, triumphs over evil Bomberman.
Bomberman is the little Mac of explosive murder.
Indeed.
There we go.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he seems completely okay with it. You never see on his face that he feels bad for murdering everything.
In fact, the only time that we see him sad is when he blows himself up.
Right.
And then we get
the snot bubble.
Right.
Yeah, we don't even know if he dies. He just resurrects. Yeah.
Okay, Bomberman can indefinitely scoot on his ass. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't get too sore and he dies. But that motherfucker cannot swim.
No.
Right.
Like, even in shallow water, he's just gone. That's a little frustrating, seeing as that you can kind of deal with all the other obstacles in some way. It's kind of a detriment. Like, it slows you down. Mm-hmm. But no, water just kills you.
It's like the first Assassin's Creed.
I'll tell you, you're so badass in every way.
I am badass. I'm going to run away from these guards and jump in the... Oh, fuck.
Jump 5 stories into a thing of hay, but water? No.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I mean, that's kind of a common theme that I was talking about that earlier, too. It seems that all the heroes just don't know how to swim, period, in a lot of video games. And I almost wonder why that is. Is it because it was so hard to animate that action in the water back in the day, and then they just kept sticking with it?
That's a really good question.
Link did it.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing. You know, eventually we do have heroes nowadays that do, but if you go back into a lot of the older games and everything, the heroes could not swim. Right.
Only the most badass of heroes could swim, which would be Mario.
Mario could swim.
Sonic.
Sonic and Mega Man could jump through water.
Correct.
And but of course, Mega Man was superior.
Because he couldn't die.
Right.
From the water.
Where you couldn't drown.
Right.
Sonic had to rely on bubbles.
Right. And he had a pretty epic drowning.
Yes.
Death, like the struggling for air. Yeah.
But yeah, Simon Belmont, though, no.
No.
That's how he can swim.
And not only that, it seemed he got heavier when he was over water. Like the gravity, would increase
exponentially.
Yeah, because you jump from platform to platform, and he'd be like, "Broom, broom," and you jump over water, he goes, "Broom, boom,"
straight in. Yeah,
but yeah, this first game on the list, I'm gonna play it again. Highly recommend it to everybody. Bomberman 2.
Yeah, I also really recommend Bomberman 2.
Yeah, I think we all would.
If you've played a Bomberman game before, if you haven't played a Bomberman game before, definitely check it out.
Yeah.
I have a question for everyone. I'll start with myself. I'm going to tell you my favorite power-up in the game because the power-ups are so important, and then we'll go around the table, and I want you to tell me what your favorite power-up
is. Okay.
My favorite power-up would be the roller skates, and what they do is make you faster. But what's great is if you pick up another pair of roller skates, you go even faster.
Right.
You pick up another pair of roller skates, you go even faster. I like that a lot, mainly in story mode when you're fighting a boss.
Yes.
Because then you can really just run around and let the boss kill himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tyler, what's your favorite power-up?
As a player who usually has to go defensive mm-hmm. in every little game that I play, that's my play style.
You're a warder.
I'm a warder. Mm-hmm. In the Wheel of Time, I'm Dave is an Aes Sedai, and I'm a warder.
That's right.
He's of the gray Aja, if anybody's going to delve into that. Not even Dave knows what I'm talking about.
I'm not sure, so. But I think that means that I am a woman.
There,
yes.
Right. There's a lot of question marks floating in the air.
There were
right
male
now.
Aes Sedai back in the Age of Legends, but okay, I'll
I'm
stop.
A woman
I'll
with,
stop.
With
I'll
very
stop.
Small breasts. I have no idea why Tyler's warding me.
The heart.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I enjoyed that. Just that second chance.
Oh, I thought you were telling me that's why you're warding me.
Enjoy your heart, David.
Mine, I'm torn. It's between the glove,
mm-hmm.
which is, of course, the throw power-up.
Right.
Because that's when I kind of figured out, you know, you could strategically place yourself in a level and throw it over the walls.
I like, you invented a word, didn't even know it, because it worked strategically. Because
yes.
That is such a cheesy tactic.
Strategically. Yes, strategically.
Add it to your game dictionary.
Cut and print.
UrbanDictionary.com right now.
Strategically. Got it. Which is like that's my entire gaming style, is strategically. Like, you know, you find one combo that works and use it until it breaks the game. I'm torn between that, but I think it's really the remote bomb in the single player.
Describe the remote bomb. We haven't talked about
it. So the remote bomb, which doesn't look like a remote bomb, when you pick it up, it actually looks like the heart power-up. It is a heart with a bomb in it. When you pick it up, you now have the ability to use the other button on the pad. And the other button is only reserved for the jumping level,
mm-hmm.
to let you jump, and using the remote bomb. The remote bomb, you place it on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and it basically looks like a little wind-up toy.
Right.
And then it will not go off. The only
until
you press the other button.
Right.
And when you press the other button, it goes off at your leisure. So you can actually set up some traps. You can, you know, use that methodical.
Also kind of strategically.
Strategically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can kind of, you know, like make your tea, sit
strategies.
Down. Strategies. Lockbox. Which, like, really helped in the levels where there were those crazy Dr. Mario germs, like, blah, 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 running across
Randy
the level.
Randy Quaid.
They would go basically parallel or perpendicular to what you were doing, depending on which way you were
I
going.
I hated those.
Yeah. And they were frustrating, but if you set a trap for them, they would run into it. And that was basically one of the most effective ways to kill them.
Yeah.
So number one would be remote bomb. Number two is throw. If you could throw the remote bomb
uh-huh.
and it land on someone's head and then you detonate it while smiling, that would be the best. That's the most strategies I can think of.
Link, what about you? Favorite power up?
I'm a personal fan of large explosions.
Yeah.
I do like to blow things up and make things blow up.
FBI guy.
I was in the military, so don't hold it against me.
It's okay.
It's all good. I don't do it now. I'm just saying. But mine actually was the power bomb. It essentially maximizes your bomb so that it blows up every fucking thing in its way.
Power bomb.
Yeah.
The power bomb. So, you know, you lay a bomb in the middle of the level, and if it's clear to the walls, guess what? That's how far that explosion's going.
Mm-hmm.
You can take out a lot of guys in a direct line, and with the strategy of the levels is to kill all the guys as well as to activate all of the switches in the level. So that kind of helps out with the killing all the bad guys part.
Yeah, definitely.
It's also more dangerous.
Definitely.
So
like, you
Link,
know,
Link likes lives to live dangerously.
On the edge. I do.
Now,
he's in the danger zone.
No one mentioned their favorite power up being the skull.
Nope.
I guess because it's not a power up.
It's a power down.
It's a power down.
I would like to directly quote the game. It gives
yes,
you
please.
Diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Diseases. I mean,
what,
really?
What of nine different diseases?
Nine special diseases.
From Uncle Herbie.
And you know why
it's like having sex with a really skanky girl. You get any one of nine different diseases.
Spin the wheel.
Try it today.
And I'm sure they probably call it a nine diseases because you can pass them to other players.
Yeah, and you
it's
run into another player and it switches off. If you yourself are hit by a thrown bomb, actually, it
while you're
flings off of
a
you.
Carrier.
Yeah. Yes. So
and then
that,
spreads into the water supply, affecting
you
all bombermen.
Patient zero.
Yes.
Yeah, but that being said, if you pick up another power up, it just basically flies out
shunts
of you.
Shunts it out of
it's
you.
Like, whoop, mm-hmm. And it just comes out your back and then flies across the level until some other unsuspecting bomberman picks it up.
No, and I didn't see that in story mode at all. I think that's exclusively a multiplayer power down.
Yeah, that's the randomizer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have another question for you guys.
Okay.
Normally I just ask Tyler, but I'm going to ask everybody here. Everyone's here. Everyone here is going to get a turn. This game was developed by Hudson Soft.
Right.
Tyler, where do you think Hudson Soft is today?
Well, I think of Hudson Soft for Adventure Island games.
Right.
Right.
Thank you.
You did Adventure Island recipes on your...
For my food column on Silktree Post.
Fantastic. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Yay!
Show notes, more work.
Ramon, you volunteered to do them?
Yeah, totally. Because I know how to do that.
I'm going to say Hudson Soft. Now mostly sponsors cosplays for Henry Hudson.
Mm. Okay. All right.
In Canada.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
That's a pretty solid guess. Ramon?
Okay, so Hudson Soft, their insignia is the bee?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think secretly they are the honey manufacturer that sells the bees to the major beef corporation in Dead Rising.
Okay.
And actually causes the zombie apocalypse. Okay. It hasn't happened yet.
Right.
I think that's what they're working on. So they basically, they're the largest holder of zombie controlling bees in America.
I think that's a pretty good guess too.
It could happen.
Link?
For whatever reason, I just get a mental block when I hear Hudson Soft and I think of Hudson Hawk. And that's all that I can think of. I can't even come up with a witty. I'm just like, oh, I just think of this movie title. And that's it.
They produced Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, that's what they did.
And all the sequels that never happened.
All good guesses. I think that probably the closest is, I'm going to go with Hudson Hawk.
Oh,
because Hudson Hawk, the movie, that's done.
Oh,
that's over.
Definitely.
Done and over.
Oh,
that's over.
Oh, yeah.
Ramon, you're talking about something that happens in the future.
I think that's what they're working on.
Tyler, you mentioned Canada, which is an automatic exclusion.
Right.
Hudson Soft actually is no more, which probably isn't a surprise to everyone.
Also means no zombie apocalypse.
But what surprised me is that they ceased to exist back in 2012. So, they just recently ceased to exist. The good news is they actually merged with Konami.
Wow. Oh,
that is good news.
So were they absorbed?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Konami needs some help, so that's a good thing for them to include. But since Ramon mentioned bees, I just want to include this little fun fact I found out 2 weeks ago at the cabin. McAvoy brought his...
Homo Meth Cabin.
And the Homo Meth Cabin. Right. Brought his anthology of DC heroes, and there was his name was the Bee or Bee Man in the 40s. His special power was he was an extraordinarily good beekeeper. He basically would train bees to attack people, and he fought crime. He was a lawyer and a beekeeper. So, B-Man, the bee, something like that.
I like that.
What are you good at, beekeeping and lawyering? If this game had achievements / trophies, what do you think they would be?
Where do you want to start?
You asked the questions last time, so we'll start with you this time.
Okay. I think this game needs an achievement called Flame On, and it's just perfect with Wizard World Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I learned all my spells, and I read some comics.
Right.
So, Flame On. And what this is you use the furnace to kill all the enemies on the screen at once.
Right. Mm, that's good. I like that. Link?
I would say it definitely needs an achievement. It should be a 100-point achievement.
Oh.
And this one would be called Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you can make it through all the sequential levels of a 1-whatever, so if you
a layer.
Mm-hmm. If you beat the 1 level, the 2 level, the 3 level, 4 or 5 level without dying, then you get a 100-point achievement. I think that a lot of game manufacturers throw out 100 points where it's not needed.
Right.
And I think that definitely does deserve 100 points. If you can do that, you deserve those 100 points because I want to meet you. You're probably related to Jesus or something, man.
My achievement is going to be called The Choice is Yours and Yours Alone.
Nice.
Because there are these enemies in the first stage that look like Easter Island heads. Mm-hmm. And Dave and I immediately looked at each other and thought of Olmec, who is from the Legends of the Hidden Temple, right. An old Nickelodeon show. And we immediately said
Silver
that
Monkey for life.
Right.
What?
You can go into the burial chamber. Or, yeah, so I think that basically if you get through the game and you kill five of those guys, and there's actually only four, I believe, in that stage. So if you basically have gone back and played two times mm-hmm. or have died a bunch, you kill five of those guys. And they actually take two hits to kill. You know, it's one of those ease in achievements. Like, oh, this game has achievements. Awesome. So that would be it.
Tyler, turn it back to you.
Going with the choice pattern, I'm going to say a bomber of choice. So you defeat a boss using a unique bomb.
Oh.
Be it the spiky bomb, which we don't know what that did.
The mythical spiky bomb.
And then, yeah, the bomb, the timed bomb.
Some
kind of unique
slime bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I like it. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Got a very important question.
I'm listening.
Wait, I lost it.
I'll wait.
Okay, I got it. If you were to give this game a beard on a scale of beard to beard.
Okay.
What?
Beard being the best and then beard being the worst.
Yeah.
Okay.
What would you give this game?
Tadpog first. Mm. I'm giving this one red being the best color beard.
Mm-hmm.
One red Woolly Willy magnetized beard.
A Woolly Winkler?
A Woolly Winkler.
Yes.
It's all spiky and frayed from fire and stress, but it's red.
Did you say
kind of patchy from being burned in
magnetized?
Places? It's magnetized. Yeah. Willy Willy. You know, you got to
right.
move it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, from being on the gunpowder factory level.
Right. There you go.
But yeah. It's red.
But it's red. Okay. Oh, that fucker's red.
So you since it's red, you need to crack the plastic open and eat it all.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
You don't wear glasses.
I do.
And I don't like to put labels on games.
Mm-hmm.
So as my warder, I give that responsibility to you. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what would that be?
I'm going to give it one prescription-strength welding mask.
Mm-hmm.
So the prescription of the glass
right.
that shields your eyes from the explosive, magnificent power that you've created.
Mm-hmm. Of the power
bomb. It's prescription. You can see through it. And the mask itself, it's made of mithril.
Whoa.
So mithril. One prescription-strength welding mask made of mithril.
Now, can I ask you if you drew inspiration from Borderlands 2?
I drew inspiration from Double Dragon Neon for mithril.
Well, I knew that. But I was hoping that the mask was in reference to the bombing twins.
Well, that's
that works. That works.
That's a trifecta of references.
So we're going to pretend like that was 100% intentional.
Yep.
Right.
With us playing what would be considered old school games, if you have never picked up any type of old school console, go out this week and do it. That's a personal challenge from Link. To anybody who's listening, it's fun and games to listen to it, but when you actually take part in it,
yeah.
it makes the experience complete.
Yeah, play through with us.
I agree.
Indeed.
Become a real part of the Tadpog family.
I like that.
Right?
That's sweet.
I use my radio voice for it.
I've got some shout-outs.
Do you have some shout-outs?
Some being like two.
Hey, that's fine. You know what?
Right.
That's fine.
Well, and I'll give a shout-out to the constant dedication of Lord Micah Perdue's
yes.
art.
Yes.
Unfailingly responsive to the art challenges.
Can I just say, I know where you're going with this. The Tool Time art is probably my favorite that Micah has done.
I haven't even seen it yet.
Oh,
so
my
God. I knew you put it out there that you wanted it.
Ramon.
Yeah.
You need to get on our Facebook page.
It will be immediately after
Facebook.com/Tadpog.
Right. Nice plug.
And check it out.
Okay.
He did a great job.
And then the next being Dennis Robinson's unfailing generosity for letting us hijack his place this weekend.
Yes. While we were learning spells at Wizard World, Dennis let us crash
from
his house.
From Henry Winkler.
Yes.
Yeah, charm person.
Ramon is more pleased with himself than any of us.
Yes, Ramon, you are very pleased with yourself. You're as red as your shirt.
Yeah.
You are.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find our show on iTunes or Stitcher, so you don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about Sunset Riders.
That's right.
Which I'm very excited about.
If you take up Link's Challenge, play some Sunset Riders.
Right.
And check back in with us while we hopefully love the hell out of it.
I know it's an arcade somewhere. If you get a picture of you playing the arcade, 10,000 Tadpog points.
Ooh.
Wow.
Don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating. Write a review. Let's also give a shout out to someone who gave us a 5-star review, making it 996 more votes until Dave marries a goat.
Yeah, and you've only got one more week. So
Noisy Me, thanks for giving us a 5-star review. Check out tadpog.com or find us on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to subscribe. Give us a 5-star ratings for Dave's goat marrying and our own prosperity.
Right.
Goat marrying / prosperity.
Now, I like how the goat marrying is completely overshadowing you, Tyler, watching Star Wars.
Yeah.
That was calculated.
I'm putting marrying a goat on the line,
right,
and you're trying to wiggle out of watching Star Wars. I want to definitely thank you, Link, and you, Ramon, for coming on the show.
Of course.
And we always like having guest hosts, and you guys are really great friends of ours. It's been great to talk with you guys, but it's been even better to play games with you guys.
Totally agree.
I would agree 100%, and hopefully in the future, down the road, I will be able to come back for some of my favorite games.
Yeah.
No, oh, yeah.
That would be awesome. That goes for both you guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You're gonna have to get more mics when we get to the top 10.
Yeah. We have to get more mics and maybe rent out a...
an auditorium.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Silk Street Post Sound Studio. We're going to have to talk to Jessica about that.
I like that. Well, guys, don't worry. You know why? Because we're going to be back next week.
Hooray!
In the meantime, if you can't wait for more Tadpog, you can always leave us feedback on tadpog.com, and you can find us on Facebook on facebook.com/tadpog. Our song is Moves by Sycamore Drive, and a link to that track can be found in the show notes on tadpog.com. That's the show. Click, click, boom.
Bomberman.
Beep, 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 boom. Boom.
Yeah,
with the multi-tap.
Yes.
Yes.
You gotta multi-tap that shit.
That's right.
Multi-tap that ass.